And it comes from Charles Spurgeon. He says, "You will never know the fullness of Christ until you know the emptiness of everything else." I find that to be very true. I don't know about you, but I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about the fullness in Christ Jesus. And I believe it's true, as Scripture teaches us, that as we grow in Christ, that He continues to be more real and more real. And His character becomes more glowingly bright. But also, at the same time, as we grow in Christ, we have to understand, too, the emptiness of everything else. We, as Christians who've been saved, we have a great responsibility to learn more about Him and live our lives for Him. So often we put the things of this world above Christ. Brother Stotler mentioned about idols, and that's exactly what it is. But I want to know Him more. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs in the 16th chapter, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, mankind has done all that we can to try to justify all of the things that we believe to be true. Mankind has done a very good job of trying to create idols, create gods, worship kings. We understand that Scripture, Solomon was the wisest man, my understanding, to live, other than, of course, Christ Himself, stated a very important fact for us, that there is a way which seemeth right to a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. We tend to think the things of this world are so important. But you see, I believe we're created as a spiritual being, and in that spiritual being, we are searching for one to worship. We are created to worship something. There's something within us that just yearns for it. We see in all across the world that there's different religions and different and on different continents and different times of throughout the ages, that there has been people have tried to create religions and idols and kings and worship them and make sacrifices to things that are not real. And we have to be aware of that tonight, that there are many things that we tell ourselves are true, but unless it lines up with the Scriptures, we have to be careful. We know that mankind, and by our own nature, we are sinful creatures. As the population grew and grew, in the days before the flood and Noah came, it tells us that men were wicked continually in their hearts. Insomuch that God was going to destroy the world. But then He saw old faithful Noah and gave him some instructions. We see that the world and mankind has not changed in this view. Mankind, since the beginning, has always tried to justify and make things right in their own eyes. We see in Isaiah, in the 5th chapter, the 20th verse says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." When I read that, I feel like that is today. I mean, we see all across the world, we come in contact with people all the time who call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light and say that light is darkness. Bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So you see, these things of mankind, the things that we conjure up, is nothing new. This is the state of mankind. We are going to look at a few things tonight, and we most certainly want you to follow the Lord tonight. If the Lord is dealing with you in your heart, and you know that things aren't right between you and God, I want to encourage you to seek Him. You see, we could tell ourselves that we're okay inside, that we're not troubled, that we are safe with the Lord. But I want to tell you tonight, if the Lord is troubling your heart tonight, if you've not been saved, what's that mean? Brother Jason mentioned in preliminaries tonight, he said, that being saved is having a relationship with Christ. If you don't have not been born again of God tonight, I want to encourage you to seek Him. Don't fool yourself and don't justify sitting there doing nothing. It's very vitally important for your soul tonight, for eternity, to seek the Lord. Let's make sure and keep praying. And listen, this is a good place to come pray tonight. There's nothing virtuous to pray up here. Listen, you can pray at your seat. We just want you to seek the Lord if you don't know Him in your heart. Okay? We want you to seek Him. Because I'm telling you, God is real tonight. He is real as you see us here tonight. He's as real as you know that you are. Just because you cannot see Him with these eyes does not make it that He is not real. He is just as real, and the Spirit moves amongst people, and through the gospel that is being preached and through the songs that are being sung, Christ truly is the only thing you need tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you've never experienced Jesus, you need to, yeah, because He is real. I have experienced Him myself, and I could tell you, with all of my being, that God is real tonight. And He's loving. And He could give you peace and joy within your heart that you've never had before. He's good. He is so good. But there's some things that we want to look at tonight in Scripture. You can't trust yourself tonight. You need to trust the Word of God. You need to trust. You know, listen, there may be some things that I always say clear, but you need to trust Jesus tonight. You need to trust that what's going on in your heart and seek the Lord. In the book of 2 Kings, in the 5th chapter, a very familiar story tonight of an event that took place. There was a man named Naaman who was a leper, was a captain of the guard in Syria. Syria was a mighty power back in those days. They had a lot of people and a big, very large army. And I wanted to try to stay simple tonight so everyone could understand. This man named Naaman had leprosy, and it was a disease that was incurable. And within the camp there was this little maid who was taken from Israel, and she I believe she knew the Lord. She knew about the Lord, and she mentioned to those who she was with there in Syria that her God, that there's a prophet that could show Naaman a cure, which was very interesting because nobody's been cured by leprosy. So how the faith of this little woman that was there as a maid to Naaman, how she would know about that, I don't know. She had great faith. But she told them about this. And so it was the king of Syria got word of this and sent a letter to the king of Israel saying, there's a prophet that could take care of this problem, this leprosy of Naaman. Now, I want you to do that for me. So Naaman, he sent Naaman with this letter and sent that letter to the king of Israel at this time. And, you know, the king of Israel, he did not take very lightly to this letter. I believe the king at this time was Jehoram. He got this letter, and he was scared to death because this big king of Syria sent this letter and something that the king of Israel didn't know anything about. He said, oh, great. He rent his clothes, and he said, they're going to come kill us. We can't heal this man. Oh, but there was a prophet named Elisha. He was a man of God, and he heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes and was troubled. He said, don't worry, I got this. He said, my God's got this. He went to Naaman, and it says here in the 9th verse, I'm going to read a little bit. He said, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than the rivers of Israel? May not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And it says, his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. This man Naaman was a pretty bitter man. He came to get a solution to cure his leprosy. But I want you to see here that the way that Naaman thought it should go wasn't the way and the answer that he was given. Naaman had preconceived notions. He had things in his mind, apparently, that he wanted it to go, to be cured. Naaman's way, he said, I thought. I'll tell you what, folks, thinking can get you in a lot of trouble. Sin of friend thinking will get you in a lot of trouble. Overthinking what salvation is. Overthinking that you can save yourself. Overthinking the peace that comes with salvation. Be careful. But he says, I thought, and he became very angry with Naaman. I'm sorry, with Elisha. Naaman became very angry with Elisha. And then he said, I thought you would just come out here and stand and that you would call on God and wave your hands in the air. And then I would be healed. See, he had in his mind what he thought was going to happen already. And that wasn't what was told of him. He was angry. And then he immediately shifted his thoughts and his mind. He said, fine. He said, well, for whatever reason, he didn't like the River Jordan. And so what did he say? Aren't these two rivers, Abana and Pharpar and Damat, aren't they much better than the river that you want me to go to? Why don't I go to those rivers? And then what did he do? He went away angry. Here this man was. He went away in a rage. Elisha told him exactly what he needed to do, and it was very simple. It was not complicated. As a matter of fact, his servants went to him and said, listen, Father, you know, if he would have told you to do some complex thing, you would have done it. But all he told you to do is go dip in Jordan 7 times. Boy, it's good to have friends, isn't it? I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for loved ones. I'm thankful you're here tonight. You know, I'm thankful for those that went ahead of me, invited me to church, for my parents who took me to church and didn't give up on me. They didn't give up on Naaman, did they? He was still with leprosy. But then, all he had to do was submit to God's way. Amen. That was it. And you know, when he finally got to the place where he had to get past himself and get past what he thought would be right, he submitted to what the man of God told him, and he went down to that river. He dunked himself 1 time. Nothing. 2 times. Nothing. 5, 6. Oh, but something happened on that 7th time. He went down to that water the 7th time, came up, and whoa, something changed. Just that was told to him. He came up out of that water and that leprosy was gone. He was cleansed. Not only was it the leprosy gone, I don't think his skin went back to whatever age this man was. I don't think it went to the natural aging process of what he was. I think as scripture tells us that his skin was like a child's. I don't know about you, those of you who have age on you, your skin isn't like it used to be, is it? That's important. His skin was like a child. Therefore, so it wasn't just back to what his age would have been. It was made almost brand new. Oh, and he rejoiced after this. Because a miracle took place that nobody has ever seen. How wonderful. What a great day it was for Naaman. What a great day. And you know what else in turn took from this? He went away from this event and he knew that there was a God in Israel.
Amen.
And there was no other. He was right. He was right. He submitted himself. Thankful for that tonight. There was another. There's so many of these. There was a woman in the 5th chapter of Mark who tried to do everything herself. This woman, as Scripture tells us, had an issue of blood for 12 years. And it says that she had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was made not and nothing better, but rather grew worse. So here this woman was. She was doing all that she knew what to do for herself to try to make herself better, that issue of blood. She searched out all the good doctors in the area. She spent all the money that she had trying to search for relief to cure her disease, her illness. And all of this long, all of her efforts were failing and failing and failing. But then it says, she heard of Jesus. What a day. Do you remember when you heard about Jesus? You may not remember the exact day when you first heard about Jesus. You may not remember all of that, but I'll tell you, I'm thankful that I heard about Jesus, aren't you? She heard about Jesus, and here comes Jesus walking on by. She heard, must have heard about the many miracles that he performed, must have heard about the mighty works that he did. We're not told about all that she was told about Jesus, but I imagine it was pretty much a lot of things, because there was something that changed here when she heard that Jesus was coming by. Jesus was coming in the press. And she said within herself, she knew, she had enough faith to muster up that she did all that she could, right? In her way that she wanted to make herself pure and clean, it wasn't working and she was getting worse. And so she heard all about Jesus, said, oh, he's got to be the way. And it says that when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. There was a lot of people around Jesus walking at this time. Mind you, he wasn't just walking by himself. There was a throng of people. I don't know how many people, but there was a lot of people. Can you imagine Jesus? Our Christ the King that was here, that the amount of people that were surrounding him, touching him and wanting to be healed and cured, wanting to touch and talk to Jesus to see what he was going to say and do. But this woman was in trouble. And she said, if I could just touch his garment, just his clothes, she said, I could be made whole, or I shall be made whole. So that's what she did. She didn't make any loud noises. She didn't make a stink about anything. I imagine she's probably by herself. But she was determined. And she submitted herself to go. And she touched his garment. Scripture says this. In the 29th verse, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I said, wait a minute. She didn't get Jesus' attention and ask him to heal her? Nope. She did not get his attention. But as she touched his garment, the next verse tells us, and I love this, because Jesus knew exactly what happened when she did. In And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" He knew. And his disciples said, "Well, what are you talking about? There's a bunch of people here touching you, Jesus. What do you mean, who touched you?" And he turned and looked right at her because he knew. I want you to understand something tonight. She was in trouble. She was at, I believe, one of the lowest points that she's been in her life. Amen. Had no money, had no cure. But yet, here she was, her only hope, the best hope. Jesus was walking by. And Jesus came. And as he was walking with all of these people, she could have said, "You know what, I'm not going to trouble him." She could have had all of these thoughts in her head and said, "You know what, I'm just too weak. I don't have money to give." She could have had any amount of excuses, but she did not let any of those hinder her if she had any. She was determined to get to Jesus. And when she did, her faith, she was healed of her blood disease. Jesus knew immediately what happened. As he said, virtue had gone out of him. Sinner friend, tonight, I want you to see this, that there are a lot of people that seek Jesus. There are a lot of people that pray for healing. There are a lot of people that seek Jesus for salvation. But seeking alone does not do it. There was something different about this woman. There was something different about Naaman, I believe, when he finally submitted and got his heart right. There is something within us. Our heart has to be broken. It has to be contrite. And we've got to want the cure for our disease, which is sin sickness. And we've got to want Jesus more than anything. And you know what? Jesus sees your heart tonight. He knew her position. He knew where she was at. When her faith reached out to touch him, virtue left him. There was other people that was touching him that didn't get a thing. Sinner friend, I know what it's like to seek Jesus day in and day night after night after night and say, "What hope is it?" There was people touching Jesus that got nothing that day. Where's your heart at tonight?
Amen.
Are you trying to be saved? Are you trying to get Jesus your own way? Do you have preconceived notions of what Jesus is to be or what salvation is supposed to be like? Whatever it is, listen, you've got to get rid of all of that. You've got to get rid of your own identity. You've got to understand that you are a sinner in his sight. And there's nothing good that we can do to merit the salvation that Jesus has to offer for you tonight. You've got to be broken. You've got to be completely crushed in your spirit to come to him. If you're holding anything back, you're not going to get it. He's a loving God, and he wants to save you tonight. What's different about tonight? Jesus gives us a lot of warnings. There are a lot of people who are trying to justify themselves in their own ways and are not submitting to the only way of salvation, which is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. All of those, you know, there may be some here that are religious by nature. You know, there was a woman, and I love this picture. I love this account. There was a woman who was a sinner, and everybody in the area knew about her. And she was a wretched sinner. Jesus went in and was invited into Simon the Pharisee's house to come and eat with them in that night. And this woman who was a sinner, she came and somehow found out where Jesus was. There was some determination that she had in her heart, and action showed forth that. And it tells us that she brought this alabaster box of ointment with her. And Jesus was sitting at dinner with these Pharisees. And she comes into this house. She was not invited. They didn't stop her. You want to know the condition of your heart tonight? You want to know what a beautiful picture of being crushed and completely broken down and submitting to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This woman, she went into this house and she brought that ointment with her. And she didn't care who saw her. She didn't care about who knew about her past and that she was a sinner. And what she did is she went in there and she started weeping. And as the tears were coming down, she went to the feet of Jesus, and the tears were just coming and pouring on his feet. And then she took the very hairs of her head and she bent down and she was wiping his feet with her hair, with her tears. The dirtiest part of a man. She didn't care who saw this. She took that ointment and she anointed his feet. All in front of these religious people. She didn't care. Talk about being broken. Talk about having humility. Jesus saw her heart. The religious people, though, they said in their heart, Simon, he said in his mind, by the way, in his heart, Jesus knew what he was thinking. He said, Simon, in his heart, he said, if this man, speaking of Jesus, was a prophet that he says that he is, he would know what manner of a sinner this woman is. He wouldn't let her touch her or touch him. He said that to himself. Jesus knew exactly what he was thinking and called him out. As he called him out in the middle of that room, he said, you as a Pharisee, Simon, he said, I came into your house invited and you did not even wash my feet. I want you to understand this was a customary thing at the day. When you would have an invited guest, there would usually be some kind of a water basin or something at the door to wash off your feet. It was customary to that time. Simon didn't even do that for Jesus, even as just a guest. He said, you didn't even do that. He said, this woman is washing my feet with her tears. He said, you didn't even greet me with a kiss. And that was a greeting. It was a kiss on the cheek, right? Didn't even have the respect for me enough to do that. And this woman can't stop kissing my feet. You gave me no oil for my head. And here she's spending her own oil and anointing my feet. You know what happened to that woman that night? Scripture tells us that she walked out of there forgiven of her sin. Pharisees couldn't believe it. There are a lot of religious people in this world. There's a lot of religious people in this room. Religion alone will not get you to Christ. Knowing about Jesus will not get you to Christ. There are a lot of people in this world that have a lot of idols, and they worship sports stars, they worship celebrities, they worship all of these things. And they could, there are some that are so crazy, they could tell you all the stats of basketball players, know where they went, how many rebounds they had each game, and could go on and on and on and on, tell you what their favorite food is, tell you where they live, all of these facts and stuff. But that doesn't mean they know them. They know about them. If you go to try to show up at that celebrity's house, you can know everything there is. You could be the greatest historian on that celebrity and show up to their house and say, I know this person. Let me in. Let me. You're going to get booted off their property. There's a lot of religious people that know a lot about Jesus. There are a lot of religious people who could quote Bible verses and scripture very, very well. But all of the knowledge up here will not get you to heaven. All of the knowledge up here is not going to get you in a better state with Jesus. Jesus requires repentance and faith tonight. He requires your brokenness. Listen, you've got to come to Him with a broken and contrite heart tonight. If you want Jesus more than anything, you've got to get rid of all of the preconceived notions you have in your mind. There's a lot of Christianity that says you just have to accept Jesus, accept what He did on the cross. And then they will tell you that you're saved. Matter of fact, I was driving home the other day from work, listening to some radio station, and there was this back and forth of this role-playing of this event similar to just what I explained to you. This person just prayed and repeated this prayer and said, oh, aren't you glad you're saved now? Listen, that doesn't save you. I don't read that in Scripture anywhere. You can know all that you want knowledge-wise about Jesus. But I want you to know, just like that woman with the issue of blood, she knew exactly when her life changed. Naaman knew exactly when he was cured of leprosy. This woman who was a sinner that nobody liked and nobody cared for, aren't you glad Jesus cares for you tonight?
Amen.
You may not be very popular with the world, but I'll tell you, there's someone that loves you enough who sent His Son that loves you and died for you and wants to have a relationship with you.
Amen.
It doesn't matter your status in life. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow, red, purple, green. It doesn't matter what country you come from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. Listen, if you're going to come to Jesus, you've got to come the same way. Where are you at tonight, sinner friend? Do you know Jesus in your heart? I mean know Him, not know Him here. Are you tired of going through the motions of seeking Jesus? Wouldn't it be good if you would seek Him with your whole heart? And just be determined like that woman was to just reach out to the hem of His garment. Nobody told her to do that, by the way. Scriptures tell us it is by grace through faith. It is not of works. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast tonight. What's standing in your way of Jesus? The Holy Spirit is willing to draw you. That is a necessity, and I do believe that. But when I look at Bartimaeus, and we mentioned him, I think first I see this as a beautiful picture to me. I believe there has to be a desire in your heart to want Jesus. He convicts you, lets you know that you're separated from him. But the conviction happens one time. After that, it's a godly sorrow that sets in and begins to draw you. But listen, do you desire Jesus above all? Do you want him tonight? I mean, you look at your past. If you have sought the Lord time and time again and you didn't get it, it is no time to just throw in the towel and give up and say, I'm just done seeking Jesus. He wants to save you tonight. There is something standing in your way. You've got to come to Jesus broken. Bartimaeus was a blind beggar for many, many years, and he would beg every day. But finally, when Jesus was passing by, oh, he got excited, didn't he? He said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, he wanted the Son of David. He knew that this was the Messiah, and he couldn't get to him. But he called out for mercy. But then Jesus finally, as he heard him calling, he stood still. Jesus did. And then he called him to him. He stood up and they led him to him. Oh man, I bet he was excited. He knew exactly who he was going to meet. The Son of David, the Messiah that was foretold to come. Oh, and Jesus did what he always does. He healed him because of his faith. Where are you at tonight, sinner friend? Do you want Jesus? Are you going to let another opportunity just cast you on by? I wish every father and mother and grandparent in here wishes that we could just give you a little bit of insight of how much we love you and desire for you to have what we've got. We can't. We can't save you, but we could point you to the one that can. What are you going to do with Jesus tonight? Do you desire him? You know, the night that Jesus saved me, I went to church. I've said this many times, I don't care. It fascinates me. We had a revival service. Brother Larry Taylor was the evangelist. That's Brother Willie Taylor's kin. And I was lost. I went up on, it was a Wednesday to Sunday revival. I went up and sought the Lord on Wednesday, just like I did every other night that we ever had revival services. I sought the Lord and got nothing. Thursday came about the next day, and it was just a normal, regular day. I was 12 years old, doing what 12-year-olds do. Came to church because my parents took me. My parents were divorced at the time, so I was living in a life that was very hard and very difficult, not understanding why things were how they were, but my mom knew the importance of bringing me to hear the Word of God, and I'm thankful for that tonight. The preacher got done preaching, and they had a song that was just similar like we're going to have tonight. Brother, you might get a song ready. And as they were singing that song, I wanted Jesus. I could have not prayed. I could have not sought the Lord that night, but I wanted Jesus. And I went down to the altar, which was metal folding chairs. Not a nice padded one like this, just metal. I didn't care. I went down and I started seeking the Lord like I did always. Oh, but something was just different that night as I was seeking God and just calling out to him the best I could. I didn't know what to say. I didn't have the right words. I knew that I was lost and separated from God. That's all I knew. But as I was calling and seeking God, it started getting heavy in my heart and heavy. And I didn't know what I was saying, but all of a sudden there was just, boom, it was gone. It was just peace. And I just sat there with my head down because I didn't know what happened. So something took place, but I was just, I couldn't pray anymore. I was at peace. I was at ease. So I just stayed there till the end of service. We dismissed. I went home. I asked my mom, how do you really know you got saved, Mom? She said, oh, you'll know. Ask the Lord. He'll tell you. I got home in my bed, and I tried to call on the Lord. I couldn't pray for salvation. He already cleansed me. I just had peace. And I knew what the Lord did for me that night. Do you want Jesus tonight? He wants to save you. You may not have come tonight expecting that, but I tell you, if you desire Him, He will meet you. Your broken and contrite spirit, heart. Will you come to Jesus tonight? It's not here. It's not here. He sees your heart. He knows how much of a desire that you need Him. He knows if you're thinking about other things. Will you come and seek the Lord as we stand and sing tonight?